Okay, I think that sounds all right. Is that good, Dawn? Yeah, great. Really great to worship this morning. I do appreciate, I don't know about you, but I really appreciate the length and time we have to worship, just allowing people to come up and share what God is speaking to them about. And that roundabout was the L'Arc de Triomphe, by the way, Matt, the big roundabout. Yeah, just if you want to ever look it up, it's pretty crazy on there. I've been on a coach trip. They loop around it, and it is a crazy roundabout where you've got no idea where you're hopefully going to get off it at some stage. So a very applicable analogy there of that. Yeah, we were like that before we were saved, weren't we? We were sort of in this continual loop of life just going on. And now Jesus forged a way for us to go off down that road into a purposeful life, not a life that's just going round and round. So I'm going to be preaching to you today on, where's my scripture? 1 John 3:16. I'll give you time to get that in a sec, but just hopefully by the end of this sermon you should really feel encouraged with a deep appreciation for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So that's one of the main things that I really want you to take away today. It's that appreciation for what Jesus did on the cross, willingly going to the cross, but also motivate you in your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. Because Jesus is our example of how we should live. He is our model of how we are to live our lives as sacrificing people. You know, that's the biggest thing he did, was to sacrifice himself. Before we get into that, I'm just going to pray, and then we'll get into the meat of this. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you made a way for us, off that roundabout and onto a life that is full of purpose. But it's because you laid your life down. You live that sacrificial life. You live that life of forgetting yourself so that we can be set free through the cross. I just want to thank you for that, Jesus. And Lord, as we hear your word this morning, as we go through this wonderful piece of scripture, in your wonderful word, Lord, we just pray that you would really stir our hearts. Take us deeper with understanding what you have done for us, how you made a way, Lord, and how we're to outwork that in our lives, Lord God. Amen. So, I'm going to look in two parts for this. I did three last time. I got confused, so I'll go two this time. No, it's not that. Just it seemed more appropriate to go with two on this one. So, it's in two parts. Jesus gave his life freely. I'll go through these as we go, rather than just chucking them at the beginning for you. But Jesus gave his life freely to die for our sins. And the second part is, what can we do in response to such love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? So I'm just going to read the scripture there. So if you want to grab, it says 1 John 3:16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. Same guy, if you didn't know. Same guy wrote the same stuff, but this is not the gospel. These are letters that are going out to churches in Asia Minor. So, if I read this. This is how we know... Sorry, I can hear paper still flicking. I'll give you a moment. We're there. I'm always conscious of the fact that it takes time to find things. It's not so instant. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Bit of background before I continue with what's going on here. So this letter is a part of three letters written by John. He was the son of Zebedee. Really cool name. His dad's got a really cool name. Son of Zebedee. The same apostle, of course, as I said, did the gospel. He also did another book in the Bible. Does anybody know? John did another book in the Bible. Yes, go on, say it again.
Revelations.
Revelations, yes, good stuff. If you haven't read it, it's a great book. The book of Revelation. He was a fisherman, and he was one of Jesus' inner circle of friends, together with Peter and James. He's sometimes noted as the disciple who Jesus loved. John's readers were confronted with the early form of Gnostic teaching, which threw off all moral restraints. Now the situation we had here with John, John's getting near to the end of his life, and he's they're spreading out the gospel, they're wanting to plant churches and encourage the body of Christ. And I was just reading these 2 points, and it said, the gospel started and the church was looking to spread into Asia Minor, where Paul hadn't preached, and yet the church was not established. It was about 100 AD, around 70 years after Jesus had died, and no one was left to who had personally interacted with Jesus except John. So I was reflecting on this and thinking how it must have been quite an amazing thing to think. John was there going, do you know what, I'm the only one who actually communicated with Jesus, spoke with Jesus, and you're the last person on this earth to communicate with him in a physical form. There must be sort of a sense of urgency to, I've got to get something down for these new believers because I don't want them to be distracted, people coming in to tell them lies about who Jesus was, because I knew him, I was there with him, I was with the other apostles. I know exactly what Jesus is like. I know the things that he said. I saw the miracles that he did. I saw the hope that he brought to people's lives. I've got to get something down so these young Christians can press on after I'm not here. There must have been quite a sort of a burden of responsibility to do that. So we this is why we have these letters. So it's consequently, in this, throughout these letters, he's exposing false teaching, and he really wants to assure that the young Christians that are there, that who Jesus is, that truth is delivered. And this is why we've got get this scripture, this piece that we've got here. I'll say it again. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Sorry, is that me? Yeah, it is me. It's all right, is it? Okay, cool. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So he's wanting to just bring across this truth of Jesus laying his life down for us. So, bit of background, that's sort of the situation where we were at with where the church was going, why he was writing this. These young believers starting off in their church, and he's wanting to bring some sort of concrete things for them to hold on to. So first one was Jesus gave his life freely to die for our sins. Looking at some key words here throughout this scripture, I always love to, and it's really important to look at key words and think about what does this mean in the Greek? What's trying to be said here? So this point here of this is what love is. So let's, one word that really spoke to me, of course, is the word love, a very important, impacting word, something we all desire, and that act of love was shown by Jesus dying on the cross. What a wonderful act of love that is that we're looking at here. It's not like the Greek word was agape. It wasn't like a love of I love chocolate or riding. It's more of a love between like a father and a child, and it's an unconditional love of the high. It's the highest form of love that there is, and the greatest demonstration of love was shown when Jesus freely gave his life on the cross, and this is what we're talking about here. That sort of love, that deep, highest form of love, and he shows it physically. Now, we can say we love things, we love people, but unless there is any sort of demonstration, some physical, practical response, we sometimes would doubt the love of people. So imagine my wife lovely Dawn over there. If you don't know, Dawn's on the PA today. If I told her that I loved her but never demonstrated it, if I never got a birthday present, speak kind words to her, support her in whatever she's doing, or support her in when things, times when she's struggling with things, then she might well question that love if I didn't demonstrate it in some sort of physical way. And we even, Matt was even talking about it last week, how a man is to love his wife is like Jesus loved the church. He laid down his life for the church. Jesus loves the church that much that he would lay his life down for the church. So I think that love, getting that clear, that point, that we're talking about a deep, highest form of love of a child to a father. Laying down. I thought I'd look at this. What does this laying down mean? What does that word really mean in Greek? The word is rather ethekon. Ethekon, it means to put, place down. It is a physical act. The act of placing. It is not metaphorical or a suggested act, but is very sort of deliberate. A sort of like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set myself to do this. I'm laying this down. And that is what Jesus did. He demonstrated his love. His love wasn't just spoken. It was acted upon. And it was acted upon through this laying down of this love. An example of this, I thought we were going to watch a little extract of Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where Aslan, who is a Christ-like character, so don't think, oh, it's just some lion that's turned up. This is, the lion is a representation of Jesus and laying his life down. So a bit of a backstory. So those of you who haven't seen it, it's a really good faith-building and well-put-together film, actually. And so the situation is there is a lad who has sinned called Edmund, and somebody must die in his place. He must die he must die for his sins. But Aslan, who is this Christ-like character, has put himself forward sacrificially to die for this lad, Edmund. So we're just going to see the video of it. Sorry, those who are on at home, we're just going to have to turn and face it rather than show it like we would do with PowerPoint. So Dawn is going to use her camera skills to line this up somehow with Jessica's aid. Right, so we're just going to watch that. It's a scene from Narnia. Oh, it's a little bit gory with the goblins and stuff and all those sort of things. I don't know. It's a 12 rating, I think, isn't it? Yeah, so hopefully it should be all right. Thank you. There we go, Heather. That'd be cool. Got the lights on. That'd be cool. So from that, from that point, just to conclude, that is the knife that the witch was holding was plunged into Jesus, the lion, and he died. And that was the sacrifice that he made, the great lion. So sacrifice, looking at sacrifice there, we looked at how Jesus, the lion, as the lion, gave himself in the place of Edmund. And thank you, Paul, appreciate that, sorry. Back to you, everyone on YouTube there. So the purpose of sacrifice is that when somebody sins, a life needs to be lost. The purpose is to, cleansing and averting of evil or failures, providing appeasement to God. Another example of sacrifice being given was Abraham, when he went to go and sacrifice, of course, his son to God. But just before that moment, God stayed his hand and said, no, there's a ram in the thicket. Take that ram and sacrifice that. So there is something that is needed. God is needing a sacrifice. If there is no blood spilled, there is no atonement made. If there is no death, then sin cannot be taken away. It is not diverted. It is a major part of our faith, isn't it? It is a major part of our faith that there is a sacrifice that needs to be made. And throughout Scripture, Jesus is referred to as a lamb in his approach towards how we go with this sacrifice. So that was one of the first lambs that was referred to, but Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God. We sang about it this morning, actually. Ali chose that for one of the songs. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's come to take away the sins of the world. What I want to do is to just talk about how we can see Jesus. We've seen Jesus as the lion, but I want to look at Jesus as the lamb and his sort of lamb mentality that he lived. I want to make clear connection between him laying his life down, just like a lamb would be sacrificed, just like a lamb we put upon the altar back in the times of the Old Testament. For hundreds of years, the lamb was placed there and it would die for the sins of the people. We need to make that parallel, and I'll hopefully help you with that, making that link between Jesus being the lamb and suffering and dying in our place, just as we looked at the lamb or the ram that was sacrificed for Abraham, and just like the lion was sacrificed for the sins of Edmund. So, the lamb. When we think of a lamb, we think of something that's gentle, innocent, pure. And we see in various places in Scripture where Jesus is talked about as the lamb. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And what a moment that must have been. Jesus comes in on the scene, And one of the first things they're saying about him is John is saying, look, here is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who comes to take away the sins of the world. Like, that was his thing at the beginning. That was his mission. It was to die, obviously bring God's kingdom. But ultimately, John was talking about his end goal, the Lamb coming to take away the sins of the world. And it says, so we've got that right at the beginning. And then later on, right at the end in Revelations, which we know is a book written by John, it says, I saw in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as though it had been slain. Throughout the whole Bible, either through prophecy or symbolically, Jesus is referred to as the lamb. And the Jewish nation, as I said, that sacrifice, they've been reminded of that lamb every time they'd have gone to the temple and had a lamb slain in their place. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it says, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he had not opened his mouth." Thank you, Jesus, for being the lamb. That is amazing. So Jesus laid down his authority and his power and dominion, and as we see, there was a key change. Jesus was there's a time as well we can see where he sort of was proclaiming the gospel, and then there was a time that came where that sort of lamb mentality happened. If we look in, I'm just going to suggest it here, but if you want to look at it later, you can do Matthew 26, 36 to 56. It was when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was saying, "Father, if it's your will for me to go to the cross, may it be happen. If not, then take this cup from me." But there was a time where he said, "Do you know what? That's it. The Father's will needs to be done. I'm going to be that lamb that is now going to go to the cross. I'm gonna submit myself to the Father's will," which is a tough one. No wonder he sweated great drops of blood through such pressure and anguish. I mean, we can set ourselves to do tasks and things, you know, maybe climb Mount Everest or cycle 100 miles or ride the highest roller coaster. Yet nothing like this task was as amazing as this, to be honest, to give yourself to this. And the restraint as well, when it says in Matthew 26, 53, says, do you think, so there's a situation where a soldier came up and was, you know, they're forcing Jesus to come with them, and then Peter takes off the ear of the soldier, and then Jesus heals him. You think, wow, this guy is trying to take me away. Yet Jesus has such grace and mercy. He says, do you know, I'm still going to heal you. I know you've got bad things in store for me. I'm going to heal you. And he even says, do you not think that I can call on my Father, that he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Wow, another symbol of restraint. At that moment, Jesus could have said, do you know what? I'm not going to be going for this lamb. I'm not going to be that lamb that's going to be slain. I'm going to call down angels to do that. And that restraint, doesn't that speak to you about how we are when we're living our lives? I think of those times where I've not held restraint. And I'm sure we can all think of times when we've not been restrained. And we need this lamb mentality a bit more in our lives. Those times where we've done those little comments at the end of things that we've said. Those times even when you're in your car, when somebody's cut you up and you want to say something to upset them. Those times when we just shouldn't respond to people. You know, it's really hard to hold back, isn't it, sometimes, and just hold it in and just say, do you know what? There's times I say to myself, Dan, just button your lip. Don't bother saying anything. It's not going to help. It's not going to bring that person through the situation. I'm sure my kids can relate to this when they're being discouraged from such behaviour, and I should just walk away. And I don't even have one legion of angels with me, let alone Jesus with his 12. And I'm not having anything half as bad as what was going to happen to Jesus by dying on the cross. Later on as well, Jesus is in front of the priests, Pilate, Herod, the Jews of Jerusalem, and they ask him, do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you? So these guys, people are standing before you. Imagine people are standing before you, lying about what your character is, lying about what you've said. But he just said, no, I'm going to be a lamb to the slaughter. I'm going to, I'm not going to respond. I'm on this task and I'm having this mentality. I want to finish this mission. He did this all the way and then finally dying on the cross. That sort of, you know, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was spoken against. Just like we saw with Aslan being taken to the stone table and being tied down and killed. Jesus had that mentality all the way to the cross. This, and just remind you of this, this is how we know what love is. That he laid his life down for us. And this act was done for us. This lamb-like mentality that Jesus has was done for us. So that we can be redeemed. So that we can be restored. So, second point. It says, what can we do in response to such love towards our brothers and sisters? We've seen Jesus lays life down for us. How can we do this? How does this motivate us? First of all, of course, there is great gratitude and appreciation. From this, don't we feel compelled to live our to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters? I mean, hopefully, we're not going to be called to lay it down physically. There are people around the world in Iran. Some other Middle Eastern countries where people are literally laying their lives down for their brothers and sisters. But what can we do to live this sort of sacrificial life? You could say, well, Jesus, you know, he was God, and he, you know, but we also got to remember that he was fully man as well. We could say, well, he lived these 33 years as God, but he had that humanity. I think sometimes we can forget the humanity of Jesus, and he came down as a baby into this world, lived the life amongst us for 33 years, said no unkind word, no proud thought, or even, I mean, I'm not going to get through this day without sinning. I mean, let's be honest, we're probably not going to get through this day without some sort of sin being done, some word said, some action done that's going to probably offend, and we're going to end it with thinking, oh man, I could have dealt with that so much better, or I shouldn't have said that lie, or those sort of things. We get trapped into these things. I think, let alone, I can't get through a day, let alone 33 years, and that always is a wonder to me of what Jesus can do. So I don't think this is any mean task. So, one thing sort of I've touched on was bearing with one another. You know, let's try and bear with one another. So, I mean, we are, and you are, a lovely bunch of people, but there are times when we're in circumstances and we just need to, you know, just have that lamb-like attitude and just go, that's cool. I'll just let things slide, because there are things we just need to let slide. I know, thinking about Matt's preach, you know, like fathers don't exasperate your children. I know, being a dad and the way dads can be pedantic over things, It's all right. Many dads are like that, and I know I'm like that. I can be pedantic. Those times when I should just don't say anything. They, you know, that is something that we all need to work on some ways. But I know I can frustrate my children by being pedantic, and So there's other relationship combinations that we have where we just need to not say anything, and bear with one another. I'm talking about our family, but also our brothers and sisters in Christ. Also serving one another with a humble attitude. So we've looked at bearing with one another. Now we're looking at serving one another. Having a humble attitude. I must admit, for example, sorry, I'll get back to that point. So you know, think of ways we can help each other. Offer, I know people have moved home here, and it's been great how people have rallied together and helped people move home. People have been unwell, so people have made meals. I know for the women who've had children, people have had meals dropped around. Those sort of things have been great. And also that sort of way people who have been suffering with COVID have been helped, whether with dropping kids off or whatever they can do. I think I was great encouraged, actually. Ben's going to be embarrassed by this, but Ben's great response yesterday. Poor Cassia, she's not with us today. She fell off a ladder 2 metres high and has knocked quite near her temple. She's been to the hospital and she's hurt her hand. She went to the hospital, the walk-in in Southampton, and she's fine. But off the back of that, Ben straight away, she said, "Oh, can somebody come pick me up?" Ben straight away went and picked her up, and she's recovering at Norma's at the minute. So hi, if you're there, Katia and Norma, you're probably at home. And but she's been looked after. Isn't that great? You know, Katia could have just, you know, had nobody to call. You know, she's over here from Germany. She's now based her life here. She's put herself amongst this community, and people rallied round. And that was great to hear, you know, Ben responding and Norma putting her up and looking after her. Great hands, as Norma has a past of being a nurse as well. Bonus. So those sort of things speak of great love to others. Encourage one another. Send messages to encourage one another. It's great. I don't know if your home group, we were always praying for one another. Putting out scriptures and sharing positive things that God's done or devotions that people are going through, those sort of things. Just thinking of other people rather than just ourselves. But also, this can... I was just out on my bike, I was praying. Sometimes when I'm on my bike, it's a great place where I pray and look at God's creation and things. And I felt God just drop this into my heart, into my mind, and... It's from John 13, verse 35, where it says, Jesus said, "But this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And that is a direct thing that he's saying. Jesus is saying, you show love to one another, that speaks to the world, to be honest. That speaks to the world. But then, off that, I thought, do you know, God, yeah, we're loving one another. We're encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ. Where can that move on to? Where can that go? We have this great love for one another. And that sort of a bond we have is great. I mean, to be honest, we have to, because we're going to spend eternity together. So there's a motivation to sort it out, isn't it? So we're going to spend eternity together. But it's a great, great place to be together in as God's people going forward together in our lives. But that, I just want to encourage you actually this week when you're in home group to spend time, think about what can you do together to encourage, to witness. I think it's really good when people, not just as ourselves, witness to other people. When you're in a, like two or three of you, you could, I mean, for example, I've got some things here. You could invite people around and share a meal. You go to the pub or the coffee shop. Invite people from work. Invite your neighbours. Some of you are, I know, enthusiastic walkers. Well, if Keith was here, he's an enthusiastic greens bowler. Invite your friends along to those sort of things. Maybe look out for a need in a neighbour and use that as an opportunity to witness. I've got a lady over the back where I live. She's on her own. So I always go around and trim a hedge. And my kids are great at helping out with that, actually. But that's another way. So just as together. So in that situation, it's me and my kids going around and trimming the hedge for this lady. And she so appreciates it every year. But look for those things. Discuss that in home group this week. What can you do as teams together, whether it's anything that I've said here, a way to show what Jesus said, by this everyone know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So just want to challenge you with that this week. So I haven't got mixed up with my sheets this time. You're glad to be. I've got more numbered at the top, so we're all good. Of course, living this life, living this lamb mentality, is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't think you can go out and, yes, Lord, I'm going to ignore those comments. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to love people. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Living with a serving mentality, not thinking of ourselves. Sorry, I lost my flow now. What I think, just to finish off, just to summarise, what we're looking at here, we've looked at Jesus laying his life down as an example to us. So if we've looked at this love, Jesus is demonstrating his love to us through laying his life down for us. And that's what we should do to our brothers and sisters. And then living that life of that outworking, we can then together, through the love that we show for one another, that can be a great witness to the world that we live in. And I think that really does speak. We have something, God's love within us. The world is so lacking of that love. It is so... It's a world that marginalises people. It's a world that just doesn't have anything to offer. I know I was encouraging a sister the other day. Her husband doesn't have Christ. He doesn't have the capability to change. But we do. We have the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to change. And we are the ones that can then bring the kingdom. We can be the encouragers. We're the ones who can go out and make a difference and bring people in to know Christ. We have that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you with that this week as you go forward. And we're just going to end with a bit of worship. I think Dawn's going to do a bit of worship for us. Ali's, bless that guy. He's worshipping here this morning, and then he's down there with the kids as well, doing the wave. What a great guy. But to fill his place, Dawn is going to bring some worship, and then I'll end in prayer. So if you would like to stand.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything, and I will sing your praise. Oh, yeah, yeah. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? 'Cause you took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Oh, yeah, yeah. Great is the Lord, so great is the Lord, for we know your truth has set us free. 'Cause you set your 'cause mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry. God, let your kingdom come. 'Cause your word has let me see. Thank you for saving me. Great is the Lord. So great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. So great is the Lord. For we know your truth has set us free. For we know your truth. For we know your truth has set us free. Ooh. 'Cause you set your hope in me. Thank you for saving me. What can I say? 'Cause you are my everything, and I will sing your praise.
Thank you, Jesus, that you laid your life down for us. We thank you that you gave your life. Lord, the perfect for the imperfect, the pure for the impure. Lord, we thank you for that time when you were in great anguish in that Garden of Gethsemane, and you took on that role of being the Lamb, of going to the cross for us. Of times when you were silent, those times when you could have called down those 12 legions of angels, but you held back. Lord, may that speak to us in our approach to our lives, Lord. Help us to show that laying our life down mentality, not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of your gospel, your truth, and how that, through that motivation of love, we can lay our lives down. And as a people, we can be so effective in this world. We can be so effective for winning the lost through this love that is shown. Oh Lord, this week I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Begin to show us where we can speak into people's lives. We can work together, showing your love, that laying down mentality, that Latin mentality to people, to love people into your kingdom. Lord, use us, we pray. Help us to be bringers of your kingdom. We thank you, Jesus, that you are such a great model of how we should live. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your life laid down. Amen. 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 Thank you for listening, and hope you all have a good day. Teas and coffees are just over the back if you like. Have a good day.